Hey, Lisa.
Hey, John.
We're old.
Thanks.
What if all you needed to get better in every way was available at the touch of a hand or the sound of a voice or even a vibration? Let's talk about how that happens, who can do it, and where to find them. I'm John Webster, and this is The Hesitant Healer.
Greetings and welcome to yet another episode of The Hesitant Healer. I am John Webster here in Redlands, California with my faithful sidekick, Lisa K. Montano. Say what's up, Lisa K.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
I think everybody's doing fine.
Good.
Well, not everybody's doing fine. You know why?
Why?
We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay.
Hey, guess what I did this weekend?
What'd you do this weekend?
I went and visited my brother.
Ah.
The one you all have not heard.
Ah, that's
true. The one who is never going to be on this podcast because there might be, I was going to say stick in the mud, but he's not a stick in the mud.
He's not.
He's
no.
A cool motherfucker.
Right? You
in
know
fact,
what it is? He's too cool he's to be too, on your
you know
podcast.
What? Back in the day, if you grew up in Southern California, my brother would be as cool as Fraser Smith. He was too hip and he had to go. This is a guy, when I was in the Army, if people wanted to talk to somebody that was super wicked cool in California,
right.
I would phone up my brother and let them talk to him because he was that cool.
Right.
Now that he's old, which is going to be our topic today, he just seems boring. But we went shooting.
Okay, so that's not boring.
No, that was exciting.
Okay.
And he's good at it.
Is he better than you?
I'm going to say draw.
Oh,
it's even.
Okay.
He's got a really good stable job and a really nice house and a very beautiful wife. Who's going to outlive him because she's younger. So, I mean, he's got it all going on, right?
What more could you ask for?
What more could you ask for? Anyway, the Lisa...
You know what? Shout out to your brother.
Shout out to my brother and my sister-in-law, Sarah. If she's listening, shout out to Sarah. What's up, Sarah? We just went out there to go visit.
Nice.
So, and so we went to go shoot guns. And I had a car full of guns. That was a lot of guns. Mm. I decided to get rid of some. So
yeah.
There's that.
Okay.
But the weather was warm and nice, and you could wear flippy flops and shorts, and then we drive back into California, and it's cool again. What's up with that?
You know what, though? It was a nice weekend. I took lots of nice walks. The sun was shining, and yeah.
Nice. Well, to give you reference, peeps, this weekend was daylight saving time.
It was.
And we're probably not going to air this the week after daylight saving time, so... just so you know, that's the time reference.
Struggling to wake up in the morning.
Are you on the struggle bus? Lisa's on the struggle bus?
You know, spring ahead is not my favorite. Never has been. I am not a morning person, and so, yeah, it's not good for me personally, but that's okay.
Let's start with things that are up and coming. I'm going to Colorado Springs next weekend.
You are.
Don't be jealous. Don't hate.
I am actually, honestly, truly a little jealous. Wish I could go.
Is this the first time you're not coming with?
It is the first time I'm not coming with.
Oh, it's going to be weird. I'm going to be all alone in a hotel all by myself. God knows what's going to happen. But we're going to cut up some dead body.
Nice.
Bodies. It depends on how many people are there.
Right.
My friend James Pulciani, who runs the lab, is going to lead it. And we're like brothers from another mother.
You
Lisa.
Really are. It's
last
it's ridiculous.
Time we were there, or two times we were there, we got stuck in a snowstorm. And so halfway we were driving from... Denver to Colorado Springs, and his mommy lives right in the middle. And so we stopped at his mom's house and hung out there. I swear to God, if we could have made blanket forts, we would have made blanket forts. Because we got it like that. Anyway, I'm going to go do that because I feel it's time to go do another one. And I really want to hang out with this guy while we do that.
Right.
And I'm seriously thinking about going to Poland. I think we've pulled the trigger, and I'm going to go to Poland in July with Julian's. And I don't know that I'll do many after these two this year. We'll see, but I'm not feeling the pull. In addition to that,
yes, sir.
I had another thing going on. What was it?
Texas?
Yeah, let's talk about Texas. We are even closer than the last time we spoke of this to doing a multi-hands craniosacral healing retreat with yoga at a fabulous place in the middle of Texas. It's about, what, an hour and a half northeast of...
I think it's about 50 minutes...
1 hour?
Northeast of Houston.
We're hooking up with Shannon Bloom, my friend Shannon Bloom, who's a therapist out there. We're going to do some therapy things, some talk therapy, some healing things, some self-motivating, self-healing, well, self...
I think it's more like self-regulating. It's like learning how to heal yourself, which we are all about. And as an aside, Shannon has been on our podcast. So if you want to check that one out.
You can hear from her, but we'll be posting that as soon as we get it locked up and lock down what we need to facilitate before we can tell you people to start sending us funds.
Right.
Speaking of funds, we have a Patreon site now.
Yes, and thank you for saying it right, because apparently I said it wrong last
time. Yeah, Patreon. If you go to Patreon, the reason we have a Patreon site is because this podcast costs us some money, and... we were kind of getting buried in it, which is why we took a bit of a break. And we would humbly and I want to say magnanimously, but that's not the right word.
No, here's what I would say.
Humbly is the right word.
Humbly. Again, this is a labor of love. We do it because we love it. And we really have heard from people that...
have benefited.
Definitely. And I think the Patreon... site is a way for you, listener, to be a part of a community that is getting out the word about healing and health. And, you know, we will all agree that the medical system in the United States is probably pretty broken right now. And so some of the things that we present to you are ways to keep yourself healthy, make yourself healthy.
Things to think about, things to self-help and make yourself feel better and live long and prosper.
So by joining Patreon, you are helping us. You are becoming a part of the community that is spreading the good word about good health.
Lisa?
Yes, sir.
Help us help you.
That's right.
So by doing that, you go to Patreon and you can sign up for just $5 a month. We're not asking for exorbitant amounts of money here.
No.
We may in the future, because I've seen Patreon sites that jokingly go up to like $1,000 and then, we can dream. I don't need $1,000.
No.
$5 a month is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we need like 60 people to do that to break our nut. And our guarantee and our promise to you is that 100% of that money goes to this podcast and nothing else.
Definitely.
I will not line my pockets. So if there were 1,000 people giving us $5 a month, really, we'd have a pretty good production site.
We would.
We'd have a real amazing. Editor is what we'd have. Well, we have a real editor. We'd have a production team is what we'd
That's
have.
That's what we would have.
Kind of like the guys over at SmartList, because they have like three people.
They do.
Yeah, and they get to chase contacts and all that stuff. So
I bet,
whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty posh.
All right, so that's done. We got the business out of the way.
All righty. What are we are talking about?
This is your topic because you brought it up. Lisa Kay, I will let you know, people, Lisa Kay, it's been a couple weeks, but she's like, hey. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I want to do more. I'm like, well, have at it, girlfriend. She goes, no, I mean on the podcast. I went,
I thought you wanted to do more.
So then like a week later, I'm like, what do you want to talk about? She goes, what do you mean? I'm like, you're the one that wanted to be on the podcast more. What do you want to talk about? Oh, I don't know. Well, now she's got topics. She's been thinking about it. And today's topic is the topic of aging.
Yes.
I'm going to go first.
Okay, you do. Because
I have an article in front of me that talks about the population of aging Americans growing in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And the median age jumped to nearly 39. And I'm like, that's...
Wow.
I guess that's a thing, but that ain't what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm talking about our age group.
Right.
The children of the 80s, the coolest generation that ever lived.
Right.
And nobody talked about, and I know we've said this multiple times, nobody talked about when our parents get old, what's going to happen.
Very true. Very true.
We just lived through that in the last 3 years, and a lot of our friends are living through that right now. Mm-hmm. And they're either dead mm-hmm. or dying. Mm-hmm. My Lisa's father is almost 90, and wow. he's still living by himself.
My goodness.
Because mother-in-law, mom passed away about 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's been plugging along. He's still fiercely independent. Mm. You know, I used to hear things like that and thought, yeah, whatever, of course you are. But the reality is, having seen my parents do it
right.
and live through it closely.
Correct.
Fuck, that's going to be a thing.
It is going to be a thing.
Right? One of the things that I constantly go back to, it was clear Dad wasn't driving great towards the end, right? And there were times when they would go out and drive, and I'm like, but I'd go talk to him, and he was competent in the head, and they answered the right questions. You know, I played little trickster kind of questioning and checked on, and he was still competent. I couldn't take his license. I couldn't. So I told him one of two things is going to happen. You're going to get in a crash, right. and they're going to take it.
Right.
Or you're going to get pulled over, and they're going to retest you, and they're going to take it. But you need to know.
Yeah.
And I would ask him, do you want to give your license up? He'd be like, no, right?
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's like the last thing that most people give up, because that's your independence.
Right. Yeah, same thing with the banking, right?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, we need to put somebody else on your banking in case you become incapacitated, because
right.
mom had a stroke.
Right.
And even though she could talk and point and ring a bell, mm-hmm. if you know, you know. And even though she could talk, a point, ring a bell,
what happens?
She couldn't walk, and
right.
she couldn't get around without extreme help. And it
right.
wasn't like she was going to the bank, right?
Right.
And she was not techno phone savvy, right? So
correct.
there was no bank going for mom,
right.
which is another reason Dad wanted to keep the car.
Right.
So those are just two minor little things, right? Don't get me started about bathrooms or diaper wiping or food or medication and all of those things,
right?
Because that also becomes a thing.
It does.
And my Lisa and my sister-in-law Stacy, shout mm-hmm. out to Stacy.
Hey guys.
What are taking care of him, but he calls a lot and
right.
he does a lot of doctor's appointments and
right.
and
that's the reality though.
You know, there's quality of life versus quantity of life.
Correct.
A lot of times, doctors are doing surgeries on 90-year-olds that they got no business doing, because mm-hmm. what's the point?
Right.
And again, let's go back to my mom, because I'll talk about things of which I know.
Right.
She had a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, which is a whole nother story.
That
don't get me
started.
It's a long
story that we don't
but
probably
like,
need to
it's
do.
It's like... She wanted to go to doctor's appointments for that, but she wasn't going to have chemotherapy, and she wasn't going to do radiation, and she wasn't going to take any medication. I'm like, why are you going to the fucking doctor? Because I want to know. Well, you couldn't take another surgery. You'll die. You can't take chemotherapy because you're going to die, and you can't take any of those pills because you're allergic to everything. Sidebar, my mother, the hypochondriac, would mm. take... five, I kid you not, Lisa K, you saw it, 5 pages of handwritten things she was allergic to.
Yeah.
And start the doctor's appointment with that.
I'm sure doctors were thrilled with that.
Well, I'm convinced to this day, and I'm going to say this out loud, that the doctor she had at the time got so sick of her that he diagnosed her wrongly with pancreatic cancer.
So get her out
so
of his hair.
So he could get rid of her and put her on hospice. And she was on hospice for 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, I take that back. She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer for 8 years. She was on hospice for 5.
Wow.
And outlived Alex Trebek, right? I mean, it's... So
anyway,
we're pretty convinced she didn't, but whatever. That's not what killed her.
It does
okay.
not matter.
Let's,
that is not
let's,
the
let's
important.
Talk about you. What do you want to talk about with the aging thing?
Well, you know, just this morning, it's very funny. I got up and here and my routine, you know, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you
kind of
grab half a cup of coffee. And then I go and I take my supplement/medication.
Pills. I never wanted to be a pill guy. I
right?
take so many fucking pills now.
Right?
And ultimately, that's one of the things that killed my folks is they stopped taking theirs.
So there we go. So Most of mine, I got to say, are preventative. So I have like, I take a multivitamin, I take fiber, I take, take oil of oregano, I take krill oil. What else do I take? Oh, I take a baby aspirin every morning.
Why? What does that do for you?
Baby aspirin helps thin out your blood. So you, it will help prevent heart attacks and strokes. So anyway, the list of or the amount of pills in my hand in the morning has become a lot. I gotta say it.
It's just nuts.
It is, and then you
and I can't tell you what most of mine do.
Right. I would say.
Can I interject?
Sure.
And we'll talk. Well, this is along the lines of what you're talking about.
Uh huh.
I'm on a glucose monitor now.
Oh, that's right. And you are so happy about it.
That's sarcasm, people, in case you can't hear that through the radio.
He was pretty crabby.
I have a thing attached to my arm in which the government and doctors now track me.
Oh, my God.
I'm trackable.
Oh, John.
All right. Anyway, back to you. Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
So I was thinking... You know, at this point, and let me just say, John and I and his wife are all born in the same year. So,
62, shout out.
However, I am the oldest of all the three of us.
So old.
Oh, right. So, I'm thinking back to when my parents were in their 60s and 70s. You know, this is the time, friends, when you make choices about how you want to age. Which kind of ties into your glucose monitor. So how do I want to spend the rest of my life? Healthy is how I want. You know, stroke-free, heart attack-free would be great. Engaged and with it is another way. So all the things that you can do to stave off old man, old age would be important. So sitting on the couch watching TV, while it can be intellectually stimulating, for the most part, it's not, right? So those are not the things that are going to keep us healthy and in the mix. So I guess some of the things that you and I do to and other people that we know do to stay young, those are kind of the things we wanted to mention. So I'd start with vitamins and supplements and...
You know, about 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, for the longest time, I don't know if I prided myself. It was just part of my routine. I could sleep 5 hours. I slept 5 hours on a regular. That's all I did.
That was just five?
I could live on four. I'd do three if I had to. I once ran a half marathon on 3 hours of sleep.
Mm.
Never forgave that girlfriend. And then one day it was like six, and then it kind of meandered into seven.
Yeah.
And I used to never have an alarm clock. Before I go to bed, I'm going to wake up at 5:35. I'd wake up at 5:35 on the dot, right?
Wow.
So one day that just all stopped.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, around the same time is when I started discovering I have a prostate. And that carries with it a whole nother set of stuff of zombie walking to pee in the middle of the night.
Mm.
But... things started changing, right? And like a typical male, not a healer of bodies, but one that just is a man, I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to take a pill for it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go to the doctor for it, right? And so the prostate got worse. The testosterone got worse. And the very last thing that I just alluded to was the sugar is off the charts because I refuse to poke and take my blood. I've done that several times over the years, and I won't do it. Point blank, I won't do it. I am a stubborn asshole patient when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so every once in a while, I go to the doctor and they check my A1C. The first time I had it checked and it was 11.5.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, apparently I should have been hospitalized.
Oh.
Here's the thing about this and being diabetic, which by the way, I have on both sides. My mother was an insulin diabetic. My grandmother on my father's side was an insulin diabetic.
Oh.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
My mom, from the get-go, when I was a little bitty baby, my mama used to rock me in the cradle and tell me sugar was bad.
Right.
And I've been addicted to it all my life. There goes alcoholism, right? Mm. Anyway, I know it's there, and I pretend it's not.
Right.
And that is where I'm a very bad patient.
Right.
And so the last two or three times, I got it down under 10, and I just kind of hung out with it and paid attention. But I go on binges. Right. Very alcoholically, I go on binges. And I've tracked them about every 3 months, where I'll do good. I'll have some kind of sugar thing. It'll pop right up, or Christmas happens, or Thanksgiving, or whatever. So this last year... Mm. Prior to Thanksgiving, I went in and it was like 9.5, 9.6, something like that. And the doctor says, she looked at me, she goes, it goes up. When you come back, you're going on insulin.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Like, I said, okay. Now I'm on metformin,
right,
which is a diabetes 2 thing. And I'm right. on glipizide that right. she put me on. And then she added Farxiga. And Farxiga primarily drains all the sugar out of your blood, and you pee it out, and then you get nasty yeast infections.
Ooh.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. I will not describe it to you.
Thank you. But it's thanks for your restraint.
It's been a thing.
Right.
And so I've been trying to get testosterone because I had an out-of-pocket doctor.
Right.
Here's another thing that happens with the aging, right? The medical system kind of fails you on shit.
It for sure does.
And I thought my testosterone was low. So I went to my buddy, Jim, like 41 years this year, I think.
Wow.
No, wait.
More
76.
Than
76. That's all. We're going almost 50. Fuck me.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good friend right there. Yeah. He started looking fantastic. This probably goes back 10 years. And I'm like, he's like, I see this doctor. She's an endocrinologist. Uh-huh. You got to pay out of pocket.
Right.
Like $400 a pop, 4 times a year. Oof. But she took like 28 vials of blood. And checked everything and could explain to me every single number I was looking
right.
at, which normal doctors don't do.
Right.
And she got the sugars down and she explained to me why certain foods were bad and what they did to cholesterol, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I got it down and I was feeling healthier than I had for years, 20 right. years or whatever.
Right.
And then I got a little pissy because she charged me $300 for a 3-minute phone call. So I dumped her. So I've been without the testosterone for a while, right? Mm-hmm. It was a cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that's the problem for me not being able to get up. So I've been looking. Now, here's the thing. If you go to a Western medicine doctor, I think I said this on the last podcast, if you go to a Western medicine doctor and you're within the normal ranges and you're just 2 points above the lowest of the range.
Right. They're like, you're fine.
You're within the normal ranges.
Right.
Right. But my endocrinologist doctor, she's like, well, let's get you up to 2 points to the highest part of the range.
Right.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Exactly.
So I've been looking for a way to get testosterone, which is apparently they make it impossible to do.
Right.
Especially without a prescription or a friend that goes to Mexico on a regular basis. I'm not doing that.
No.
So thought about it.
I know, but no.
So I've been looking for, God, the better part of a year and a half, 2 years. So I finally heard of this local doctor. Turns out she's an endocrinologist. She's just localer and more accessible. So I went and talked to her. And I'm giving her all the speech, talking about testosterone. And she starts asking questions. And she
she's
got
like, what's your blood sugar like?
She got to the sugar part. And how often do you test? And what was your A1C? And then she literally, this is a video conference on the Zoom.
Right.
She stuck her face right up in the camera and gave me that look. You know that orange lady in the Star Wars?
Oh.
Maz, right?
Right, right, right.
Where she looks at Poe and she pulls her glasses off and she looks him right in the eye. Right? She did one of those things to me. And she says, you know, I'll give you the testosterone. Let's talk about your sugar.
Yeah.
And then she just read me the riot act. She just up and down, right? And I sat there, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And the end result of that is I ended up with a glucose monitor. She goes, just try it for 2 weeks.
Mm.
I'm like, all right.
But?
Well, damn it, Lisa. I've been trying it for, this is week 2.
Uh-huh.
I think this is day 9.
Okay.
First of all, real-time numbers.
Fascinating.
I eat something. I have an app. I can see my blood sugar spike.
That's amazing.
For the first 4 days, I ate normal, and it spiked up to almost 300.
Ooh.
Two, three times a day.
Ooh.
With what I was eating. which led me to wonder, I know what I ate
before
and what kind of sugar binge I was on from Thanksgiving through the end of January.
Right.
I'm not even saying it out loud. I just know how much sugar I was eating. I had to be running up near 500 or 600 for 3 months. I would bet money on it. I'm not going to test that.
Bad.
Apparently that's bad. Yeah. So it turns out that might be part of the reason that I'm lethargic. I'm just saying. And and I'm watching. Now I'm experimenting. I am the biggest experimenter with my own body, right? Ask me why I got braces.
Why'd you get braces, John?
Because I wanted to see how teeth move, basically. Okay. I didn't need them. I just got them because I wanted to see what it did. 3 years I did that experiment on my body. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things. So I'm trying different foods. I got it stable at in the green rate. Mm-hmm. There's color codes, and in the green rate I had it stable for 3 days, and then I made some awesome guacamole. We had a quarter bag of chips, a quarter bag of pretzels, a quarter bag of Doritos, and I threw them all together because it was the end of the bags, and I cleaned out 3 bags out of the
good for you.
Yeah. And we threw them all in a bowl, and me and my Lisa sat on the couch, and we had this wonderful guacamole with these little bits of chips, right?
And?
You should see the motherfucking spike.
Mm.
It wasn't gradual. It went straight up to 250
right.
And came right back down. I'm like, huh. Well, isn't that interesting, right?
Well, and that's why you have a snack. You sit on the couch, you have a snack, and then you're exhausted.
Healthy snack.
Well, yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm exhausted. Why I go into comas when I'm watching TV 40 minutes after I eat.
Right.
So now I'm experimenting with foods. A few days later, for breakfast, I had 2 eggs, 4 bacon, and cheese. And it didn't spike at all. I'm like, huh. So she told me, just eat protein. She said, meat and veg, protein and veg. That's all you can eat.
Mm.
And so I'm experimenting with specific foods now, and it's very interesting to see.
It's kind of fun.
Now, you know, as an ex-chef who lived in the world of food for a long time, I should know this. In the back of my head, I probably do. But I'm a visual, tactile person.
Right.
And to see this.
Right.
And feel this
in
thing,
real time.
And I really don't feel this thing in my arm unless I'm like in the shower. But I kind of like it.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
I think I may keep it because it's this is the
I
thing.
Would recommend
back
that.
To our topic. This is the thing that's going to keep me healthy.
That's you know
for
this
years to come.
And really, what we need to talk about is how do we stay healthy for the years to come? How do I make choices? Do you like when you were kind of, I gotta be honest, he was gripey about having to get the thing in his arm, and I said, he said it's gonna hurt, and I said it's not gonna hurt, it won't hurt as much as having a toe removed when you get older, or your foot.
you had a point, bitch. Yeah.
So I too have had a little bit of a I went and had a checkup. And my blood pressure was high, and my cholesterol was high. Now, here's the interesting thing. They hadn't even drawn blood yet. And I walk in, and this is a new doctor. And my blood pressure was high. And he said, well, I'm going to put you on a statin. And I'm like, wait a minute.
What's that got to do with anything?
Right. You don't even know what my cholesterol numbers are. And he said, well, yeah, but you're the age that you are. I'll say it. I'm 61. And I'm going to be 62. And he said, you're in your 60s and you have high blood pressure. And statins, my friends, are not a great drug. In fact, they're
really bad.
Let
me preface this with,
sure.
If after we talk about this, either one of us ends up dead, start looking at the pharmaceutical companies.
Right, look at for the conspiracy theory thing.
But look at here's what I tell, because I've had a doctor tell me 4 times we need to go on a statin.
Right.
We've had patients come in, clients come in.
Yes,
and,
we have.
And my doctor wants to put me on a statin. And when I asked him why, he said, because you're 64.
Exactly.
They don't have any other reason other than they just want to push statins.
That's exactly
now,
here's what
happened. Now, here's the thing, folks, and you can do your own research.
Please do.
You can make up your own minds. Don't listen to me because I'm not an expert.
Right.
But I do dissection classes for fun. Human dissection on people that died. in all the bodies
Thank
that I've
goodness
seen.
Thank goodness it's the people.
Right? Yeah, because when you do the live ones, they get a little pissy. Of all the ones that I've seen and my colleagues that I've talked to, and I'll try and not describe in great
graphically.
Depth.
Don't be graphic.
If you cut the skin off and get down below the adipose layer, the fat layer, to the muscle tissue, we've all seen healthy muscle tissue.
And it's pretty and
it's
strong.
If it's been embalmed or if it's not been embalmed, it has a specific structure.
Right.
There are striations that you can see. There are tensegrities and connections right. that are all the same. And if I run my finger down a long bicep that's been opened up, it's going to kind of flatten and squish out from my hands, but it's still going to remain the same and look like a muscle tissue.
Right, just like if you could do that to a steak or a
Occasionally,
whatever.
Occasionally, yeah. And we've talked about this at length before, most of these dissections that I go to, you don't get to know what the history is. But some of the people I run with are doing better about getting information because they're straight donor to lab dissections. So they get full medical histories.
Right.
And the ones where you purchase a cadaver, all you get is age and cause of death. And that's
Correct.
It. But lately, a lot of the ones I've done, you get to see their medical history and talk about that.
Right.
There have been a couple, I'm going to say five, that I've seen out of all the ones I've done, where if I do that same thing where I run my finger down that muscle, it disintegrates in my hand. Like, it just comes apart, and it's just pulp.
Well,
now, listen, as an ex-chef, stay with me here.
Okay.
As an ex-chef, there's certain tricks of the trade, especially in banquets, that you can use.
Right.
And there are certain foods that their enzymes are so high that they degrade
quickly
meat or proteins quickly. Kind of akin to putting the avocado with the banana in the paper bag.
Right.
Because it exudes gases. Well, certain foods or certain fruits, kiwis are the highest, that if you put a kiwi, peel it and put a kiwi in with a bag of meat, it will tenderize that meat in hours.
Really?
In fact, I got a vivid story that I remember of a chef who was an experimenter and liked to do lots of different things. He put a bunch of kiwis in with like 15 pounds of shrimp one time. He was trying to get the shrimp to pull in the flavor of the kiwi.
Right.
And he left them in there overnight. And when we came in the next morning, the shrimp was deteriorated beyond. We had to pull another 15 pounds of shrimp.
Wow.
Because it ate it that bad.
So
right?
fast.
This is what a statin does to the human body's muscle structure. And if you've ever had a statin and your muscles hurt almost immediately,
that's what you're reacting to.
That's what it's doing on the inside.
Right.
Now, I've tried to research this, and it turns out the live research is done on live people. So you can't find this in any of the researching done for the drug that were on the clinical trials because they were live people.
Correct.
Right? But if you go into the deep, deep archives of that drug, if you deep dive, because it's out there, they have to. If you go out there, it's there. You just have to know what you're looking for, and you have to read deep into what a statin does.
Correct.
But basically, my friend James talks about, and he can say this way more eloquently, and I'm looking to get him on this podcast when I go. A statin pulls out
cholesterol is what it does.
A chemical that makes cholesterol.
Correct.
In out of
muscle.
The cholesterol-making thing and puts it someplace else, but it needs to be replaced.
Right.
And that replacement degrades the muscle tissue. So that's it. I'm never going to talk about this again. And like I said, if I end up dead, it was this freaking podcast that did it.
So my doctor said statin, and I said no. I would rather try everything, diet and exercise, before we do it. And you haven't even seen my cholesterol numbers, which were a little high, honestly, but not super high.
What you're saying is don't take a drug just because they tell you to.
Exactly. Do not take a drug just because you walked in at 61 and they said, oh, you're 61. So here's been my thing. I am a lifelong salt lover. I love, 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 love salt. Like popcorn and salt and
like
butter.
Like I love sugar.
Oh, like you love I really, like I salt almost everything. I've cut almost all salt out of my diet.
That's not true.
Almost all.
Yeah?
Almost all.
Wow. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Making an effort to walk more. Walked, I'm pretty proud of this, 5.7 miles yesterday, I think.
That's the thing with the glucose monitor. It's been almost 2 weeks. I don't know that I have more energy, but I don't know that I have less either.
Right. You're not as lethargic, maybe?
Jury's still out.
Okay.
What I'm waiting for is that flash to bang and spring chicken, get out of bed and
right.
Go, you chicken fat, go. Remember that commercial?
Yeah, I do.
I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, hopefully I get these numbers right and I get this blood sugar down. I can start exercising a lot more.
Well.
Because I just don't feel like it.
That is part of it. You know, that used to be like my my go-to. You know, go for a long walk, go for a run, go for something. And lately, last 6 months or so, it's an effort. Like the alarm goes off and I'm like, can't do it. But working on that, I know, having seen both of my parents' age and some aunts and uncles' age and watching your parents' age, there are things that I personally want to avoid.
I saw my dad. I was over there, I don't know, maybe a year before he passed. I'm in the kitchen. I'd been over there for a couple hours. I'm in the kitchen and I get a phone call from him. I'm like, did you miss me? Are you in the living room? He's like, I went to get the mail. Okay. He goes, I fell and I can't get up.
Oh no.
I'm like, seriously, where are you? He goes, come get me. Oh. So halfway down the driveway, he had fallen into a little patch of ivy and he's just sitting there. He's like, I got no core strength. I can't get up. Mm. Right. So that's burned.
Right.
Right. Core strength is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I'm taking with me all the way into my 90s.
Right.
I'm core strengthening it.
Right.
Because I don't want to. He fell one time at the house and was on the phone with Leisha and he couldn't get up. He says, my core strength is just shot. He says, I cannot bend over and get up from a seated position.
Frightening.
Julian talks about, one of the first thing he talks about when he's talking about bodies is being able to squat.
Yeah.
We are all born with the ability to squat because that's how Neanderthals pooped.
Right.
And that's how they do it in third world countries in holes.
Correct.
And here in America, we don't squat. And another thing that I really work on trying to get down to and stretching all the way down so that I can squat and hold that squat because it's how we're built.
Right.
Yet we've worked our way out of it.
Correct. These are all like things that you have to start thinking about. So once upon a time, I could, you know, have a cookie and everything was great, and can't really do that unless you plan. Snacks.
you're hurting my heart. Right?
I know. Snacks used to be fun. Potato chips, you know, tortilla chips, those kind of things. Now it's vegetables, and which I am learning to like. Not as much as I like tortilla chips, but
Do you notice these bags under my eyes?
I do notice.
This is 2 days in a row. And now, listen, I haven't had these in a long, long, long time. And since I started this glucose thing in the last 3 days, they've popped up. And I suspect...
You're detoxing.
Well, I suspect I'm now going back to when I first got sober. And my body, because it's been purged of sugar, is now reacting to trace amounts of high carbohydrates or sugars.
Right.
Because I got these huge bags under there, double bagged, and I got plenty of sleep. So your body knows.
Your body
does remembers.
Know. There's another element I think that we can talk about aging is community and friendships. And
that's a big deal,
right?
Lonely old people.
Lonely old people that is as deadly, honestly, as high sugar and high blood pressure.
Or you know, getting a pet, getting a community. The Highland Senior Center is where Lisa's dad goes, and he's got great friends there.
See,
and they have amenities that he just mentioned recently. He's going to take the bus to go shopping instead of calling Leisha, right? Because they have a bus that does that. Right?
Oh.
Because this age group,
right.
I'm going to say 80 and above, they're not taking the Ubers.
Yeah, they're not Uber people. That's pretty techno
savvy,
right?
Right. So I would imagine as we get up there, because we're going to be the generation that's going to be the largest, oldest generation ever.
Correct.
That we're going to bring a lot of this with us, because just like the antique chairs and grandma's picture,
right?
Our kids are not going to want to drag us around anywhere.
No.
And we already don't want to do it with our parents, right?
Well, and
but homes are not a thing of,
no.
They're not working either.
No. I think that we are a fiercely independent generation. You know, we've done this all on our own for a really long time.
Hopefully, Lisa, hopefully.
Yeah.
They've perfected robots by then.
I hope so. Well, I don't know. Did you see iRobot? I saw iRobot.
Westworld.
Oh, Westworld. Even better. But let's get back to community. So things like people and friendships, that when I was in my 30s, 40s, even 50s, that was pretty effortless, right? There was a group of people. You knew each other. You hung out. When you get a little older, things change. And I have found that my circle has become smaller, which is okay. It's like quality over quantity, for sure. But it does take a concerted effort to stay in touch. And I think, even though it sounds silly, just a, hey, how's it going, to friends and family. John's family does a great thing. Every month, they do a Zoom call, right?
We do. We started that after the folks died. We started doing a Zoom call at the first Sunday of every month.
Right.
Every once in a while, bring in a guest family member, but the core unit has stayed strong. And this particular weekend, Lisa, I was with Mark and Sarah, me and Lisa with Mark and Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Alicia drove down from Canada and was with Matt.
Really?
So we send pictures to each other.
Aww.
We did a little family get together.
Oh, I like that.
The other thing about that is, even like you said, your circle gets smaller, but the quality increases, I think.
Oh, I totally agree.
But social media has kind of upped that game a bit too.
It has.
I was in a very small graduating class of 128 at dear old Beaumont High.
There were only 128 people in your class?
Compared to my oldest daughter's 1,400, right?
Yeah.
And we're all still kind of pretty tight.
Yeah.
There's a core group of us that are all still pretty tight.
Right.
And I can tell, shout out to the Beaumont High School alumni of 1980, right?
Woo!
And if I don't know where they're at, like one of my friends, Lori Foster Nixon, who is a massage therapist in Beaumont and is a colleague, and she was also the homecoming princess of 1980.
Oof.
Lori and I are still friends, and we trade out and we talk to each other. And since she still lives in that town, she knows where a lot of those people are. And we could bits and talk about it.
Right.
But we also still, like Lori Grisham, she's not Grisham anymore. Who lives in Florida.
Right.
Keep track of her.
Right.
You know, and so we all check in every once in a while, and we're all a little tighter.
Right.
My wife thinks that's abhorrently weird.
I don't think
she
it's
doesn't
weird.
Know where any of her high school people are.
But I think
she had a horrible time in high school, though.
Right. I was going to say, you had a different experience than your wife did.
Right. I was a bit, you may find this hard to believe.
What?
I was a social butterfly.
No.
I was. It's true.
That's funny.
I did sports, and people liked me.
People like me. This is one thing that I don't know if I'm proud of it or what. I had in-laws who did not like me. I know, that's hard.
Well, they were Mexican.
They were.
And you were white.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a thing.
Do you think
trust me. Yeah. Trust me.
All right. So I had in-laws who didn't like me and made my life pretty miserable.
Well, you had a husband that didn't like you either.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point. But so now my children are, ready, 35, 32, and 31. In a week, they will be 32, 33, and 35. They all have significant others at this point. They have people who they have married or who they are in a relationship with. I find it super, super, super important to keep in contact with them. So my daughter-in-law, I try to contact her at least every other week.
She's young and hip, that one.
She is. She's very young and hip. My son-in-law, text him, just wanted you to know I love you. And shout out to my son-in-law, because you know what? I'm going to be a grandma.
Oh, good job, dude.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks, Rich. And so I make a point to keep in touch with them. Because I think it's super important to let them know that I care about them and I love them.
I don't want to be that grandparent. I don't want to be that absentee father, because I did it for a long time anyway. But now that I got grandkids especially, I mean, the kids are okay, but the grandkids, oh my God. Right?
yeah, kids, whatever, grandkids.
But
yeah.
I was talking to the youngest one, who's got the three here local, and, and I'm like, how do I want to put this?
Delicately, I hope.
Yeah, I think I need to put it delicately. Basically, I was talking about what do they want, right? I don't want... here, I can put it. She married into a pretty okay, well-off family. So they do... And they live like two doors down. So they're present all the time.
Right, right, right.
And his siblings are within a mile of each other. And there are nine grandkids on that side of the family, all cousins, that get together all the time, because they're a close family, and that's cool, and they are showered with love and adoration and gifts,
right?
To the point where we don't feel we can compete. It's not a competition thing, but it's like I'm not gonna go buy them something because they already have too much stuff anyway, right?
Right, right, right.
So I was talking to her about this, and she's like, "They don't want that shit from you.
No, they want you to be the fun grandpa.
Time. Well, they want time." I can give time. I have to make time.
Right.
But then give time. Here's the thing, Lise. Last couple times, I am the fun grandpa. Do not let anybody say otherwise, because God damn it, I am, right? I can still do a headstand. So piss off anybody else at 61. I can still do a headstand, right? And the girls are in gymnastics, so this is fantastic. But here's the thing.
So that's cool.
I like to tumble. I like to get around. A little physical. I like to run around, and they love that about me.
Right.
The last two times I've come out of there, 3 hours later,
you were exhausted.
It's hard to get off the couch.
Ooh.
Which goes back to this topic. I need to continue to work out.
Yeah.
Because if I don't work out, it's not that I can't lift things. I can't lift kids.
Oh.
Right? There's my core strength right there.
There you go.
There's my reason for living
That's
and working out, is I want to be able to keep doing this longer than today.
Correct.
Because not all grandparents can do that.
No.
Right?
No. And my grandparents certainly, honestly, I had two grandmothers. I didn't, both of my grandfathers had passed. Certainly were housecoat wearing, shuffling through the kitchen.
But you just talked about, you walked a long way yesterday. 2 weeks ago, we did a 5K.
We did.
We didn't do it well. But we finished the damn thing. We walked it and ran it. And that's without any
training
without any training at all.
But.
And you just sent me a thing for the Palm Springs tram run.
I did.
Which I had to miss last year. Yes. I will not be missing this thing this year.
Right.
And my buddy Joe, that's Jim's brother.
Right. Your good longtime friend Jim.
His brother, his older brother, who is a little older than us. I think he's 65. He started running at 60. And he started running like half marathons and stuff. He's the one that got me into the Palm Springs tram run. He's done it every year. In fact, we've met him there a couple times.
Right.
He just had knee replacement surgery, and he says, "I'm all done. No more running for me." Part of that is because he started at 60. And I started it at 16, and that's a big difference.
There's a difference.
And we've got, genetically, I think we're both doing really good in the knee business, right?
My parents had great hips and knees.
Yeah, so I mean, genetics plays a part when you get to this age about how you are taking care of yourself.
For sure.
While I'm thinking about it right now, this minute, how many pickleball injuries have we seen in the last 3 weeks?
You know, people will come in our age. I love it. And John always starts with, "So, how's it going? What's your story? You know, what hurts?" And that, "Well, everything's great until, you know, now my knee really hurts, or my hip really hurts." And John will say, "Have you changed anything?" Honestly, 8 out of 10. Yeah, I started playing pickleball. And so they'll leave and John and I are like, God bless pickleball.
Let's talk about that just for a second. And then we got to wrap up. We're already way over. Did you know that?
Oh, goodness.
This is a topic that needs more discussion, I think.
I think so.
Here's pickleball. Number one, you're on a hard surface.
Right.
Right? I have old injuries from people who played volleyball and basketball back in the day.
Yes.
Hardwood floor sports injuries are a thing.
They are.
Or gymnastics. Hips and knees, 100%.
Yep.
Right? Well, now if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you're playing pickleball, you are on a hard surface and attempting to move
laterally,
energetically.
Well, and there's lateral movement versus
correct.
just walking and running.
Here's the thing. You can't wear your comfy walking shoes on that surface.
Please get the right good shoes.
You need to get the right shoes for that surface. Tennis shoes, not running shoes. They're designed for those surfaces, number one. Number two, you should be wearing leggings or some kind of compression socks, which would help as well.
Yep.
Number three, you better take up yoga or you better take up some form of stretching or walking.
Tai Chi or something.
Because your body is not used to playing just little bitty pickleball.
Right.
I'm seeing more and more sports injuries from our age group because of pickleball. Yes, it's a fun sport.
Right.
Yes, it doesn't have to move fast.
And but, community.
But
let's
you need to pay attention to the equipment and know your body when you're playing that game.
Yes.
In the meantime, keep playing. And if you have an injury, come on in and see me because I can help you fix it.
That's so funny.
Really, that's all we have time for today. But listen, what's the last thing you want to say about aging?
You know what? I think the way we age is a choice. It sucks. I am not going to lie. It sucks. But we have choices to make, food-wise and supplement-wise and moving and staying engaged.
Brain. Feed your brain.
Feed your brain. I do a little word game every morning. I'm eating my supplements.
Are you a Wordle person?
No, I'm not. I'm
what
not
word
good
game?
At Wordle. It's like a... I think it's called Wordscapes, and it's like it's like a crossword puzzle.
You don't need to describe it to me. Just give
anyway,
me the name.
Wordscapes. So all of those things are choices, and we aren't young anymore, guys, and so we got to make healthy, healthy choices.
Act accordingly. That's
yes.
right. All right, peeps. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
If you're young...
Thank God right now.
and just disregard everything we've talked about. Enjoy it while you can, because your time's coming.
Right.
Again, with the Patreon, please like and subscribe on the podcast. Please tell your friends if you heard something that makes some sense. Go back and listen to some of the older podcasts because there's some fun and fantastic information on there. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you so much for listening.
Yep. We love you guys.
Be good humans.
Be good humans.
Peace out, ducks.